You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. We are opening up the mailbag for the second time this week, part two of our two-part mailbag. Let's get right into it. Our first question comes from Billy Kuhn. How do you guys think the Miami Heat would have done the past three seasons against these Warriors if LeBron would have stuck around? So the 14-15 starters would have been Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Josh McRoberts, and Chris Bosh, most likely with a bench of Whiteside, Chalmers, Tyler Johnson, Haslam, Sean Williams, and Henry Walker, Beasley, and Chris Anderson. So
that is one hell of a theoretical there. I mean, okay. That is very tough to answer.
Impossible to answer, right, with certainty, but definitely fun to imagine. So the first part of this is that Billy assumes that Dragic is going to be on the Heat if LeBron stays. Do you think that the Heat would have pulled off the trade deadline deal for Dragic if LeBron was on the Heat?
No, I don't think that there would have been as much of a need for a guy like Dragic as the primary ball handler, or a guy who even plays almost as much with the ball in his hands as Dwayne Wade does, when you have LeBron James initiating so much of the offense. I don't think that would be the ideal fit. And then he also points out that Chris Bosh would be a starter, but if you recall, he was a starter for a little bit over half a season as he fell prey to blood clots following the All-Star break.
Billy did mention that in the original email, but I had to condense it for the purpose of the podcast. But he said, we're not doctors, but he said, presumably with a smaller workload, Bosh might have been able to stay healthy as he was during the Big Three era. It was just impossible for us to know that.
That's a hell of a leap there.
Yeah.
It's tough. Okay. Would the trade for Dragic have been one that you make? I say no.
I would have made it if I were still the Heat, because those draft picks are even less valuable when you have LeBron James, right? If you're assuming you're going to be picking in the bottom 10 of or the top 10, however you want to look at it, you know, one of the last picks in the first round. But then again, I don't think Phoenix does the deal. If they're getting first round picks from a team that has LeBron James on it,
right,
they're not doing that deal. The only reason they did the trade was because they think Miami, those picks are going to be in the top half of the draft, and they look like they're going to be right about that. I don't think Phoenix does it. Or even if they do the trade, it takes a little bit more to get it done.
Danny Granger.
If it was available, maybe. But you're right. Like, Dragic was, you know, he's kind of turned into a better three-point shooter. He kind of had to learn to play without the ball when he was playing with Dwayne Wade. Maybe that would have been the case, you know, if he were to join Miami. But I'm not sure that they would have been able to get the deal done. I don't know if Phoenix would have wanted those first round picks. They would have not been as valuable. I wonder if even if they would have signed Hassan Whiteside or even Tyler Johnson. They didn't really show. I mean, they brought in guys like Jarnell Stokes and stuff like that out of the D-League, so maybe they would have done it, but they wouldn't have had the need to play Whiteside as much as they did that year.
Oh, right? Obviously not. Yeah, obviously not. I mean, look at the modus operandi in Cleveland. It's not bringing up young players and getting and working on the D-League and having them kind of grow as part of the Cavaliers. It's signing veteran free agents when they come off the waiver wire or when they negotiate buyouts with their former teams, et cetera. I think Ray Allen would have still been on the team. I don't think he would have retired in 2014 if LeBron had stayed with Miami.
Good point. And I think, so I agree with you. It's less of the Whitesides and the Tyler Johnsons. Like, Richard Jefferson would have signed with Miami. He wouldn't have signed with Cleveland. So this team would have had Richard Jefferson on it and not Sean Williams or Henry Walker.
They could have acquired Channing Frye the way Cleveland did.
So I think you look at those players that are currently on Cleveland, and that would have been really similar to the roster Miami would have been able to construct, but, you know, no Kyrie Irving, probably no Kevin Love. It would have been still Wade, LeBron, and Bosh, and then just those same filler pieces, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
More or less. I mean, so how would Miami have done against these Warriors? The same way I think the Cavaliers are doing now. I don't know how much of a difference it would have been. There wouldn't have been a Kyrie Irving on the team. And given what Bosch's health concerns and Wade's aging, I think they still would have gotten out of the East just based on the just based on the players that Miami's able to attract. I think that at some point in those 3 years they would have had made a Dragic like something. I think they would have added something to it.
Who knows? Maybe they would have taken somebody other than Justice Winslow at 10. Maybe they would have taken Miles Turner. Sorry, that's right.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
No, but they would have had a first round pick. I mean, they would have been able to add a rookie. They would have had that pick to trade, presumably. I think they would have made some sort of deal. Maybe they would have made the Dragic trade or a deal similar to that to add something else, like a fourth semi-star to this group. I just don't know how good they would have been.
Good point.
All right, next question. If James Johnson gets a bigger offer or a big offer that the Heat cannot and do not want to match, do you see them going after restricted free agent Julius Randle? I see him as a younger JJ, and also Lakers might not want to match his offer with their aspirations of signing Paul George next summer. That question comes from Jerome Parks. We talked about Randle a little bit on the last week's mailbag, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I love Julius Randle.
Because I think it was Sam Smith's column that I talked about the fact that they're looking to move some players there.
Yep, and this is – I go back to the scenario. If James Johnson is getting – I don't know how much money it would take, but let's – if James Johnson got a $20 million a year offer from some other team, right, that's the sort of deal that Miami wouldn't be able to match or wouldn't want to match maybe. If that's the case, again, instead of trying to pay Julius Randle a ton of money, do you trade for him and take on the contract of Lual Deng or Timofey Mozgov? At that point, you would actually be saving money versus paying – James Johnson and getting two players for the price of one, basically. That's the scenario I keep going back to.
And is that a deal that you'd have to swing this offseason, or is it one that maybe you'd make, or for the Lakers' perspective, would they be more willing to make that kind of a move right before the trade deadline, knowing that Randle isn't going to resign, or that their chances, or that they'd rather invest their money in other players and not necessarily in Julius Randle?
I suppose they could do it during the season. But if you're Miami, I think you want to do it sooner rather than later, right?
So then you'd be hard-pressed to you know, or you'd be forced into a situation that you don't want to be. You'd be at a disadvantage there. If they have the upper hand as far as the deal is concerned, there's a good chance that they could force you to take a guy like Mozgov or Lual Deng, and that's something you don't want to do. You don't want to eat those contracts, you know? I mean, you might have to do that anyway.
It would take Randle and the 28th pick in the draft for me to eat one of those contracts, minimum.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, it certainly – and then again, that you kind of hit reset on what this team's goals. Last year, you were one game away from the playoffs and perhaps moving deep into the playoffs. You don't know how far you could have gone. But – all of a sudden you lose James Johnson. He was such a big part of what this team was all about as far as a guy who could play multiple positions and guard multiple positions, initiate the offense alongside Tyler Johnson off the bench. I mean, there was so much that you were counting on him to do. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, is a trade like that kind of change things around? Is Randle ready to handle that workload right away? I mean,
I think
and all of a sudden
just,
you're paying this.
Yeah. Maybe you if James Johnson leaves, I really like Julius Randle as an option, but maybe you're trying to – and he is a restricted free agent, not this summer, but the summer after. So now you're thinking, okay, so we got to pay this guy next year anyway,
right?
To keep him. So right. I think Randle could be better than James Johnson. He's young. He's got
in the future.
Got,
sure.
Yeah, and I love his fit on this team. Actually, if James Johnson were to leave, he'd be my pick. But you're right. You would have to bring in the Mozgov or the Deng contract. It's a really big contract. But then again, would you rather pay for Dion Waiters and would you rather pay the same price, right, like $28 million next season for James Johnson and Dion Waiters or $28 million for Dion Waiters, Timofey Mozgov, Julius Randle, and the 20th pick in the draft? It's a question worth asking, right? I don't know how much it resets the clock. I think Randle could make an impact next season. I don't know how much of a drop-off there would be between James Johnson and him, especially if you're adding more talent to this roster with draft picks and everything.
Wouldn't you just go after Randall when he enters a restricted free agency, assuming that the Lakers want to move on?
I mean, you could do that too, right? Because they're going to be looking for Paul George.
Perhaps.
So they might not have the time nor money to spend on Julius Randle. You could give him an offer. But then trading for him kind of brings him to you in-house and lets you get it lets you acquire the rights to match where the Heat could still get bought, could get they can get outbid for Randle next summer. So it's like a guarantee. But I don't know if Randle moves the needle so much for them that they would make that sort of deal just to get him.
I have to think that the Dragic deal and how much they had to give up and how that changed the way this team was assembled and their long-term, prognosis, whether or not that changes how they view other trades. I don't think you'd ever want to give up too much or have to take on too much in exchange for a player you want. While Julius Randle is a guy that you certainly want on your team, I don't know if you ever want to say, well, I had to, pay Luol Deng $17 million a year in order to do so.
Yeah.
Knowing how you feel about giving up two first-round picks and that those picks would have been a great asset to have at this point in time, but unfortunately, you just don't.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how to get Randle on the Heat, and it just doesn't seem that likely. I think he's going to be really good. Maybe they do bid for him next year. All right. We got another question, but before that, if you're interested in joining the Locked On Podcast Network, we're hiring a national sales manager, so be a part of the fastest-growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, the NFL channel, and the entire network to national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com with your resume. That's lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com. All right, next question from, who is this from?
Tayshaun Flats.
It's from Tayshaun Flats. There we go. A lot of Heat fans are talking about their dream lineup next year of Gordon Hayward, Deion, and JJ, which is most likely impossible. However, it is possible to sign Hayward, clear some cap space, and sign back JJ, JJ being James Johnson, of course, while drafting a replacement for Deion, such as Donovan Mitchell. Even though this team is guard heavy, I'm very high on Mitchell, and I think he screams all-star. What do you think of a starting five of Dragic, Donovan Mitchell, Hayward, James Johnson, and Whiteside in the East?
You've been high on Mitchell, I think, from early on. He was one of the names that really appealed to you in the draft, in addition to Zach Collins and others that might be there more realistically at 14. You've contacted me a number of times and told me that Mitchell is the guy that you really hope slides to 14, even if we don't necessarily need them. So I'll let you handle the Mitchell aspect of that. What do you think? Do you think he screams all-star the way Tayshaun does?
I have an announcement to make.
Uh-oh.
Donovan Mitchell is my Kelly Oubre prospect of the year. He's my Kelly Oubre prospect of the year. He is absolutely a future all-star. I don't know why if he slides to 14, it will be an absolute steal if the Heat take him or whatever team ends up getting him in this draft. He's so athletic. He's so long. He's 6'4 with a 7-foot wingspan. Do you know who else was 6'4/6'5 with a 7-foot wingspan?
I want to say Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade was at, and so he's got the size of Dwayne Wade. His athleticism is incredible. I mean, this is a guy that one-hand dunks over players often, and he's tremendous defensively. So you know he'll play right away because that's what it takes to get on the court in Miami. And because he's on the court right away, because he can defend, he's going to develop quicker. Because he's not going to be just sitting on the bench or playing in the D League or the G League. He's going to be developing on the court. He's not going to be asked to do too much because, of course, there's Dragic there to lead the offense. I think Mitchell is just a stud. I love his game. He's going to be probably, let's see, Markel Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Fox Smith Jr., and Frank Ntilikina. So he's going to be the sixth guard taken in this draft, most likely. He's not going to be the sixth best guard in the draft. He will be better than the sixth best guard in the draft.
Ooh.
Yeah. Some team is going to screw up and take somebody over Donovan Mitchell. Now, the knock on Mitchell is that he's not a pure point guard. He's really more of a shooting guard. And there's a lot of teams that don't need shooting guards. They need point guards. Miami is fortunate that they don't need a point guard. They could need a shooting guard. And in particular, they like guys who are combo guards. Do you remember when Dwayne Wade was a combo guard when in his rookie season?
Yes.
Yes, saying.
I do. I was just going to say. It reminds me of another guard that the Heat drafted who was a little undersized at shooting guard and not necessarily a good fit at point guard, and that was Dwayne Wade. But it wound up turning in a hell of a career as a playmaker.
I'm not saying that Donovan Mitchell is the next Dwayne Wade. But I'm
I think
not,
you're
not,
saying that exactly.
I'm not saying he's the next Dwayne Wade. Like, okay. I just, there's a few things I look at from rookies, and do you have the size? Mitchell does. That 7-foot wingspan is everything. Like, it everything you need in the modern NBA. It's like wingspan is actually more important than height at this point, because you want guys that can jump passing lanes and disrupt opposing offenses that way. I love that. His athleticism is off the charts. You can't teach that, and it's off the charts. I mean, he might be the most, outside of De'Aaron Fox, the most athletic point guard or slot guard in this draft. I mean, he's a guy who, he might not have a great shot right away. He likes to go right a lot. Wade liked to go left, of course, so that's a difference. But he likes to go right a lot. That's his sweet spot. He's got a sweet spot. But even if he can't develop a perimeter game right away, he's just going to dunk over guys. He's going to get to the rim. I love his game. So, Tayshaun, I love that starting lineup of Dragic, Mitchell, Hayward, Johnson, and Whiteside. I'm all in.
So how do you think that this starting lineup would do in the East? Realistically, so Goran Hayward still remains your best player.
Mm-hmm.
Goran Dragic, your second best player.
Whiteside,
James Johnson.
There.
Yeah, I mean, James Johnson and Whiteside is who you're expecting to bring back anyway. So, I mean, basically you're replacing Dion Waiters with Donovan Mitchell, as he indicates. And I don't know that Mitchell is as good a shooter as Dion is, assuming that Dion remains shooting at the same high level that he did last season with Miami.
Waiters will be better than Mitchell for the next two seasons, and I think that's about it. And I think you've got enough here. If number one, you don't have to pay Dion at this point. So Tayshaun nails it. You're not going to be able to bring in Dion, James Johnson, and Hayward, right? So I look at this more like getting Hayward. Hayward is replacing Dion more than Mitchell is replacing Dion, right? Like Mitchell is replacing Rodney McGruder. So this is an upgrade.
The problem being again that free agency takes place weeks after the draft, in which case you don't know who you're going to have available to you. So take Donovan Mitchell, I mean, assuming he slides to 14, which is a huge if, at this point I think a lot of mock drafts have him going 12th to Detroit, which is weird because they've got Reggie Jackson there, although they were talking about moving him last season, so maybe they don't have a lot of confidence in him there. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a free agent, so you wonder whether or not they're looking at Mitchell as a guy who can fill in for him.
Insurance, and that would right like that. Even if they bring back Jackson and Caldwell-Pope. And by the way, listeners, if you haven't read David's feature on the step back for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, make time to read it. It's fabulous. But
thank you.
He's a restricted free agent, and like if they do bring him back, Mitchell can still come off the bench for them. Like, they need help in the backcourt. That's Detroit's problem. But it would be really similar for Miami, right? Like, the draft happens. You draft a guard like Mitchell just in case Waiters leaves. And if he doesn't, the Heat can't get Gordon Hayward in free agency, maybe you still bring back Waiters and James Johnson. And then then at that point, maybe you're trying to trade Tyler Johnson. I don't know. If Mitchell is there at 14, I just have a really hard time being like, it gets complicated, so we're not going to take him. Because this is a guy who I really do believe could be a future All-Star. I think he could be a game-changer player for the Heat. And it's just like, I would rather just get that player now than just take some role player that's available. I want the best player available. And it just, to me, like, if Mitchell becomes an all-star level player in the future, and Miami just took some, like, I don't know, I'm just going to throw out a name here, John Collins out of Wake Forest, who just turns out to be, like, a role-playing power forward for us. And the reason, like, you look back on the draft, like, 4 years from now, and you're like, why did Miami pass up on Donovan Mitchell? Because they had Tyler Johnson, who's no longer with the team because they traded him at the trade deadline, and Dion Waiters, who just didn't pan out.
Yeah.
You'll be wringing your hair. Like, it'll just, I can't live with that. Just get the best player available.
Yeah. Now this is, when is the draft again? The 26th, right?
22nd.
22nd?
Mm-hmm.
11 days from now?
Yep.
It's a crazy week and a half that we've got to look forward to.
I really want
so
Donovan
much can
Mitchell.
Happen.
Yeah, yeah. So much can happen. The Heat are going to get
anybody
a good
better than
Fortune,
Zach Collins.
Oh,
I don't want anybody better than Zach Collins.
We're not going to agree on that. All right.
Yeah. When he's playing at an All Star level for the G League in the next five seasons, then maybe you'll see my side of things.
I think Zach Collins is going to be a good player, just not as good as Donovan Mitchell. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for listening. Send mailbag questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. To support the show, make sure you download every episode and follow Locked On Heat on Twitter. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.